Thank you, David. Well, it's good to be here this morning. Our theme for this year is to start. And we saw that in the Old Testament, Moses was to record the journey of Israel from Egypt to their promised land according to their starting points. And so we've been talking about things we need to start on our spiritual journey. Because that journey of Israel from Egypt to the promised land is symbolic. It's typical of our spiritual journey. Do you know that God has a journey for you, a spiritual journey? We're going from a place of coming out of the world, coming out of bondage, coming out with a judgment over us into a new land. Now, all of that is typical of a spiritual realm. And God wants us to grow spiritually. He has a destination he wants us to arrive at. He wants us to be mature. He wants us to grow spiritually. It's a spiritual journey. And we, as the Bible says, we grow in this. So it can be like we're a baby Christian and we go to adulthood. Or it can be a type of we're starting a journey and we're moving towards our destination. We're moving down to a place of fullness of spiritual life. And so today, I'm wondering, how are you on your spiritual journey? Do you realize you're on a spiritual journey? Have you assessed where you are? How far have you gotten along? Are you sort of stuck at a place? Or are you continually moving down the path to the destination? Well, today I want to help us, and this really is a life-changing message, if you'll really lay hold of this today, because the title of my message is Steps on the Path to Life. Steps on the Path to Life. In other words, we're on this spiritual journey. Ahead of you is a path, and you could stop, you can go astray, you can go off, or you can progress. Now, how do we progress, and what are the steps we take as we proceed and progress on this path of life? So I hope that you picked up a sheet when you came in, can follow along with us, and take these thoughts home with you. Now, here's the first point. Instruction is the path to life. Well, what is the path? I mean, what is the thing that we actually put our feet upon to go forward? There's a path. It's not like we're just heading across cross country. We're going, you know, across fields and gullies and rivers, and there's no road. No, there is a path. There's a roadway that's to take us to our destination. That path to life is instruction. Instruction. Now, I don't know what you think about instruction, but I hope by the end of this message, you'll have a new appreciation for it. Here's what Proverbs 10 and verse 17 says. He who heeds instruction is on the path to life, but he who rejects reproof goes astray. So the path that we take is instruction. This step is an instruction. This step is an instruction. The path is instruction that takes us to our destination because we want Christ's life, and you will not be able to just produce that within yourself. There's progress on this path that takes you to life. So, if it's instruction, how do we receive instruction? We receive instruction by being a disciple, a disciple. Now, that's a term we don't use much today, disciple, although it's a very strong biblical term and it's used a lot. We would probably use the word today, we are an apprentice, and we are being apprenticed. It's just like apprentices are in trades, and they go under someone that is accomplished in that field, and they learn the trade being apprenticed by someone. So we are a disciple. Now, this is exactly what the Bible says we all are to be. Because the scripture says in Matthew 28:19, this is the Great Commission, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. What are we to do? Make disciples. Make disciples. It didn't say go and make believers. It didn't say go and make church attenders. It said go and make disciples. Well, what is a disciple? If you just look it up in the dictionary, a disciple is a follower and pupil of another's teaching. So you're being instructed. You're gaining experience. You're gaining insight. You are progressing in the area that you're, in the Bible, it's like a master, a rabbi, and a disciple. We might call them mentors today. Someone that guides us. And so we are to be disciples. And I took a Greek course at Wilfrid Laurier a number of years ago and just took the regular class and went up every day for the hour for the class until it ended. I learned a lot from that. But one of the things I remember as I was taking that class when I was looking at this word disciple. It comes from the Greek word mantano, which means to learn. And if you look at the word disciple in the Greek, it's even the future tense of that word. And mantano means to learn. So a disciple is one who will learn. That's what a disciple is. So you could see that you could become a believer in Christ, but really not want to learn anything. You could attend church and be a church attender, but you're not a disciple. Disciple is one who will learn, one that applies the learning. I think we do a great injustice, maybe to injustice to people by which many times as we give an invitation to come to the Lord, we say, you know, give your heart to the Lord, you have a better life. Give your heart to the Lord and you'll be free from the judgment of sin. Give your heart to the Lord and things will go better for you. Now, all of those things are true. But the Lord didn't say, go and tell people all the benefits. He said, go and make disciples. The Lord knew that even those benefits are there, they won't transform you. And God is in the business of transforming us. He wants to transform our life. He wants to better our life. He doesn't want to leave us just the way we are. Now, if you go back to the analogy of spiritual growth, Paul writes to some Christians after years, and he says, you know, you're still like children. You're still baby Christians. You haven't grown. They have never learned. They didn't have a mindset to be discipled. And, you know, we need to give an invitation to people, say, you know, come and give your heart to the Lord because God wants to change everything about you. He wants to change your mind. He wants to change your thinking. He wants to change the way you live. He wants to change your philosophy. He's going to give you a new life. And it's going to mean a lot of changes. And you need to be a disciple. And so come and give your heart to the Lord and sign up because we're having the class on Monday night, whatever it is. Really, that's what it is. To be a disciple. Jesus called disciples and they came and they were with him and they watched him and Jesus gave them responsibilities and they were accountable to him. We are to be disciples of the Lord. And the basis of discipleship is instruction. Proverbs 23:12 says, apply your heart to instruction. So it's not just hearing it. You have to apply your heart to instruction. Heart is the center of your being, the center of your emotions. Just as the natural heart is the central beating force of life, your heart, your spiritual heart, is the driving force that drives your life forward. And you need to apply your heart to instruction. I looked up the word apply. It just simply means to bring into action. to use, to employ, to make an application. And so if you're going to apply your heart to instruction, it's just not a matter of hearing it, being able to repeat it, but it's something, now what I have taken, what I have heard here, I'm going to apply it, not just to actions, but to my heart. This is going to transform the center part of my being. And so now I'm going to make applications of the things that I have learned to how I conduct my life. When you do that, you're on the path of life. Instruction is the path to life, to spiritual life. Without instruction, there's no progress. And many times Christians, they want to come to the Lord and here I am at the start of the path. Now God just blessed me with everything right here. The Lord says, well, why don't you move on? I really don't want. Just bless me more with things right here where I am right now. We settle in to an area on the path and we're almost like, you know, we put up tents. we're just trying to make our life better where we are. And God says, no, this is a walk. This is a pathway you're on. I'm going to give you instruction, and you need to move day by day. You grow better, more and more, and you progress in your spiritual walk. Proverbs 4:13. Now, I'm going to read a lot of verses today. It's almost like a Bible study today. And I didn't have time to put on your sheets all the verses. I didn't have room to put it on your sheets. So I encourage you as I go, if I give you a reference, make sure you jot it down and you can go back later and pick up the references. And they'll come up on the screen and you'll be able to see the reference. Here's what Proverbs 4:13. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. You have to take firm hold of instruction. If you don't, it will just go over your head. I heard it, but it's gone. Oh, I didn't really grab that. You have to take firm control. You have to take hold of instruction. You got to embrace it. It says here, do not let go. In other words, you could let go. You could hear it and think about it and appreciate it, but tomorrow it's gone. I didn't apply it to my heart. I just let it blow through my mind. And so you have to take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go, for she is your life. I can't, you know, I'm going to repeat it over and over again. This is the path to life. Did you ever think the path forward in the Lord is a path of instruction? It's your life. It's how you grow. It's how you gain experience. It's how you make further application. It's how God is going to be more and more manifest in your life. So here's the next point. If that's the case, we should welcome reproofs as steps forward. Reproofs. Listen to this verse in Proverbs 6:23. For the commandment is a lamp and the law a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. So the reproofs, when you hear instruction and it comes against, it runs opposed to your present thinking, how you normally do things, how you've acted in the past. Now this instruction is opposed to that. Now I have to do something about it. And I have to be reproved by it. I have to say, you know what? I'm not going to do what I'm doing anymore. What I was doing was wrong. That was taking me off the path. It was taking me astray. This is the way. This is the instruction. So listen, every time you're reproved, every time you have a sense God is telling you something that you necessarily don't want to hear, just realize if I respond that to that reproof, it's a step forward. And then the next reproof is another step forward and another step forward. The steps forward are the reproofs of instruction, the scripture says. Oh, I hope that you see this morning. I hope that this doesn't just blow over your head. I hope that you'll take hold of this message this morning, because this is not a light thing. You're going to see as we go through this over and over and over and over again, the scripture is saying the very same thing about instruction and the way to life. Now, hear what it says in Proverbs 8, verses 33 to 36. Hear instruction and be wise. Do not disdain it. In other words, don't dismiss it. Don't say, well, that's really not for me. That's for someone else. There's not really any value in that. Don't disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors, for whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. All those who hate me love death. What's your response to reproof? We don't like reproof. I don't, you know. If you're in school and you're being called to the principal's office, you don't like that. If you're on the job and they say, we're going to do a job evaluation on your job performance, we don't look forward to that. I don't want that. I'd rather not have that. We don't like reproof. We don't want someone to come along and say, you know, what you did there was wrong. We don't want reproofs. So what do? We hide from reproofs. If we're in a house, we go to the back corner, the back room, the back closet, and close the door. We don't want anyone to reprove us. We put guards around us, protections around us. I don't want to be in a situation where someone's going to tell me what I did wrong. I don't like that. Isn't that exactly what the scripture says? We don't like it, but listen. It says, but blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates. You're no longer in the back closet. You're out at the front door with the door open. You're looking up and down the street. What are you looking for? Instruction. Someone to reprove you. Someone to tell you how you could do things better. You're at the door. You're looking up and down the street. Why are you doing that? Because it's the way of life. You realize if I get a reproof and I respond, I take a step forward. I'm growing in the Lord. My life is being changed. I didn't know it needed to be changed. But now that someone has instructed me, I see that I need to be changed. And I need to do things differently. So I lay hold of it. I hold it to my heart. Because if I love instruction, I love life. But this scripture says, if you don't love instruction, you really love death. You want to stay right where you are. You don't want to grow. You want to live in your death situation. This, I think it was Pastor David last week talked about casket experiences. We want to go through those experiences. We're happy. We want to stay where we are. We don't realize it, but there's a way out of it. And the way out of it is instruction. Now, here's something that's really important if you haven't seen this. David tells Solomon to get understanding. Now, we're going to go to a portion here in Proverbs 4. Solomon was writing this, and he talks about the time when his father instructed him. Now, we know Solomon's father was David. And so David is talking, Solomon's writing about it, saying his father instructed him. And this is what David said to Solomon in Proverbs 4, verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her. She will promote you. She will bring you honor. When you embrace her, she will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. So he's saying wisdom. What's wisdom? Wisdom is seeing things from God's point of view. That's the best definition I can tell you about wisdom. Wisdom is seeing things the way God sees things. evaluating things the way God evaluates things. I can value things that are not valuable. They are valuable in my eyes, but God says, you know, that's not valuable. You need to see this. Wisdom is seeing life from God's point of view. So he says, David says to Solomon, Solomon, you need to get wisdom. Understand things from God's point of view. And with all you're getting, as you get wisdom, get understanding. Then he goes on to tell how powerful understanding is and how it's going to bring honor, and it will place an ornament of grace and a crown of glory. It will deliver to you understanding. What is understanding? Understanding, I looked it up. Know what it says? To stand under. When you understand something, here's the thing, and you stand under it. In other words, you submit to it. You change your thinking to it. You understand it. You don't change it to the way you have, but now you stand under it. In other words, you make application. You apply your heart to it. And you allow it to have some impact on your life. Now let's go on and look at three people in Proverbs. Now there's more than three people in Proverbs, but I'm going to talk about three of them this morning. There's the man of wisdom, man of understanding. There's the fool. There's the sluggard. There's the lazy man. There's the simple man. There's many, many applications of men that are mentioned in the Bible, in Proverbs. Now, one of the things that I did years ago, and it came out of a practice that I had, and that was to read one chapter of Proverbs a day. It's 31 chapters of Proverbs, and you have one for each day. So May 1st, today, this is a great time to start. May 1st, read Proverbs chapter 1. Tomorrow, read Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs is a book of wisdom. Solomon really got wisdom. It says, I think somewhere in the scripture, it says that Solomon was the wisest man that lived. He saw things. Proverbs was his writing it down, telling us what wisdom is. It's called many times the book of wisdom. So, in the Bible, there's wisdom. And so, I did this for years and years. And it's good to read it in different versions, different months. Just take a different version of the Bible and read it. One month, I decided, because as I read it, I realized there's all these men, but they're all over. They're spread out through the book. So, what I did is took a several sheets, and I put one on the man of wisdom, the man of understanding, the fool, and as I read that chapter that day, I would write down, if it said the wise man, I'd write down what it said about a wise man. What was the characteristics that it said in that verse? And I wrote down the characteristics of the man of understanding and so forth. Great study, and I'm just going to give you a little benefit this morning of three of them. And I just summarized it this way. The wise man listens to wisdom and can express it. Wise man hears it and can express it to others. In fact, this is the first time that a wise man is mentioned in Proverbs is chapter 1, verse 5. And usually the first time something's mentioned, it gives you the aspect of it. So a wise man listens to wisdom. What is a man of understanding? Well, it's the latter part of that verse. And a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. So a man of understanding applies wisdom in his life. So wisdom is understanding it. You appreciate it. You take it in and you can mention it to someone else. A man of understanding doesn't only know what it is, but a man of understanding applies it. He has come under it. He has made application. to understand. He submitted to it. He's applied it to his life. So you can know something and say it to others, but you never really applied it to your own life. David told Solomon, Solomon, you need to get wisdom, but with all you're getting, get understanding. Now, here's the sad thing. Solomon didn't get understanding. If you read the life of Solomon, he messed up at the end big time. If you read through Proverbs, it says, if you do all this, you'll live a long life. Solomon died at 56. He took on many, many wives, foreign wives, and he compromised, and he built temples to their gods, and God was greatly displeased. Solomon had wisdom, and he could write it down, and we can benefit from the wisdom of Solomon. But Solomon himself didn't get understanding. So the Bible tells us we are to get wisdom, but with all you're getting, get understanding. Make sure you're applying this in your own life. To understand is to know. And there's an interesting aspect of this. If you read the beginning of Genesis, when God created Adam and Eve, it said that Adam knew Eve, and she conceived and brought forth a son. That word there is yada, a Hebrew word meaning yada, to know. And I believe there's an aspect of to being a man or a woman of understanding. You take that wisdom, you take it into yourself, embrace it to the point where there's a conception of life, where that which you have as instruction, now you have taken it and it has become life in you. Now there's a manifestation in your life of this truth. Now that's what God wants. He wants us to take on the image of Christ. He wants Christ to grow to full stature within us. He wants the wisdom of Christ to be in us. So it's not just knowing things. See, it says if you know things, you can be puffed up. But if you love, you grow up. So love is a manifestation of wisdom in our life. Many people don't love other people, that they can tell you all the truths. And so there's an aspect of to know, to understand. I'm trying to build this concept. Because when you see this, I tell you, Proverbs comes alive. You read these verses and you talk, and it talks about wisdom. It talks about understanding. Now I realize understanding is someone that applies this word to their life. Now a fool is someone who hears wisdom but ignores it. A fool hears wisdom, but ignores it. Proverbs 12:15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. So a fool can hear it, but he doesn't put any value to it. He just is wiser in his own thinking, in his own mind. It says in Proverbs 17:16. It does a fool no good to try to buy wisdom when he has no understanding. So a fool, he wants wisdom because he realizes my life is a mess. I need things to change. But the Bible says, and he's willing to sacrifice for it. But you know what? He tries to get wisdom, but he has no understanding. He has no heart for it. He's always evaluating in light of this is what I think. Yeah, that's what they think, but this is what I think. In fact, the Bible says in another place that this kind of fool is one who has a reason, will go and is wise in his own opinion, even when seven men come and give him a reason why it shouldn't be so. He's wiser in his own opinion. Seven people can come and tell him why this is not right, but a fool will just dismiss it all. So it says, you know, this fool, he tries to buy wisdom, but he has no understanding. Proverbs 17:24. Wisdom in the sight of him who has understanding. Wisdom is in the sight of him who has understanding, but the eyes of a fool are on the ends of the earth. In other words, if you have a heart of understanding, wisdom is all around you. You don't have to try to find. You learn wisdom in every situation. God is all around you. In fact, it says in another place in Proverbs that wisdom is standing in the streets shouting. Who does wisdom shout to? The simple. Now, the simple is different than a fool. A simple just doesn't understand. He's never been told. And so they get into a lot of problems. But wisdom is shouting out to the simple. A fool will hear it and won't respond. But a simple just has never heard. So listen, wisdom is all around us. If you have a heart for God and a heart of understanding, listen, you see it everywhere. You see it in every circumstance. You see it in people. You meet a person, you talk to them, you learn wisdom. Either this is what I should do or I shouldn't do that. And it's just there. It's right before. A person with wisdom, it's all around them. But a fool, they want it, but they're always looking at the ends of the earth. Oh, there should be some new philosophy. I read that. And oh, something new. And they're looking for something at the ends of the earth to solve their problems. And wisdom's right there in front of them. But they don't see it. That's the characteristic of a fool. Listen to what, I love these two verses in Proverbs 26. Because this is one of the values of going through reading a chapter of Proverbs a day. It makes you think about things. And so listen to what it says here. Like the legs of the lame that hang limp is a proverb. What's a proverb? It's a nugget of wisdom. Is a proverb in the mouth of fools. So a fool can spout some wisdom. They have a proverb. But it says they're like a person whose legs hanging down and they're lame and the legs don't work. So if you looked on, you'd think, oh, that person can do this and do that. Look what they're saying. But when you look a little closer, you realize they can't function. They can't move. So a proverb in the mouth of a fool, he has the knowledge, but it doesn't affect him. It doesn't benefit him in any way. He's lame, even though he can say the word. Now listen, two verses later it says in Proverbs 26:9, like a thorn that goes into the hand of a drunkard is a proverb in the mouth of fools. Remember the old westerns you'd watch? They'd be out in the middle of the cabin and they got to do some kind of operation and they bring out the whiskey and they say, give him a shot of whiskey, and he you know, it's to dull the pain as they take the bullet out or whatever. Someone that's drunk is numbed. The sensations are numbed. They don't feel pain the same way. Now notice what it says here. Like a thorn that goes into the hand of a drunkard is a proverb in the mouth of a fool. A thorn can go into a drunkard's hand. He doesn't even feel it. It's there, but it doesn't affect him. It should be causing him to go, that hurts, and get a response. But a fool, they can hear wisdom. They can spout wisdom, but it doesn't affect them. They're not really convicted. There's nothing in their heart that says, I should do something. That's important. I got to do something. They're just dull to it. Oh, I don't want to be like that. I don't want God to show me something and I'm indifferent to it. I'm a drunkard. I'm drunk on the things of this world and drunk on other philosophies. I don't want to be that way. I want everything that God says to me to be strong and pungent and sharp and affect me and gets a response out of me. That's how it should be. I don't want to be a fool. Now, let's go on. God uses two implements to compel you forward on the path of life. Reproof and the rod. Now, God is committed to your spiritual progress. He wants you to move down this pathway. So what will he give you? A step of reproof. He speaks to you. Wisdom comes to you. He wants you to feel it, to understand it, apply it, so you can take a step forward. But if you don't, he's still committed to your progress. What does he have to do? He has to let you suffer the fruit of your own way. And there's a consequence comes, and it's not pleasant. It's like a rod. It's something that beats you. And God does it for a reason, for a purpose. He wants to get your attention. He doesn't want you to stay in the state you are. That's why I think it's Romans 12, talks about those who the Lord loves, those that are sons, he chastises. He says when he chastises us, it's not pleasant, it's grievous, but it will produce a fruit of righteousness. So God allows things to happen to us when we're not doing right to get our attention. It's like the prodigal son who he did his own way. He was wise in his own opinion. I want my inheritance. Let me go. And he squanders it all. And he ends up eating the slop that the pigs eat. And he's dirty and he's working in this way. And finally it says, and he came to himself. And he goes, you know what? The servants in my father's house live better than this. I think I'll go back to my father's house. Now that's why the rod comes. That's why you suffer the consequence of your actions. God's allowing you to get your attention, to pull you back. It'll either be reproof or it's the rod. Now I tell you, reproof is far better. Just have a heart to hear reproof. Respond to it properly. Then you take a step and it's pleasant and you move on. The rod is not good. It's not pleasant to our flesh. It will eventually do something. Remember in 1 Corinthians, I think it's 5, the man who was in a sinful situation, and Paul writes the church and he says to him, you know, tell the man, correct him, and the man didn't respond. And then Paul says, you know what? Just put him out of the church. It even says, turn him over to Satan, that in the end his soul may be saved. In other words, Paul realized, this man is not going to hear. He's not going to hear this. And so we might as well just say, you know what? Okay, do it your way. Go your own way. In hopes that, like the prodigal son, he gets to such a point that he goes, you know what? What I'm doing isn't working. Maybe I should open my ears to hear what should be. That's why this happens. Now listen to these verses in this regard. Proverbs 17:10. Rebuke is more effective. It's more effective for a wise man than 100 blows on a fool. A fool will get all kinds of pain. It says the way of the transgressor is hard, because they're going their own way and they're suffering all kinds of consequences in their life. They don't realize that they just hear instruction, they'd be free of all of this, but they haven't got a mindset to do it. Listen to what it says in Proverbs 15:31 to verse 33. The ear that hears the rebukes of life will abide among the wise. So your ear needs to hear the rebukes of life, and then you will be wise. He who disdains instruction despises his own soul. But he who heeds rebuke gets understanding. If you will heed it, if you will apply it, you're going to get understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Listen to this next verse, Proverbs 26:3. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the fool's back. So if you're disciplining a horse, you can't reason with it. You can't speak in its ear. You have to use outward discipline to get a horse's attention, a whip for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, something that forces his head to turn, and a rod for the fool's back. Sadly, so many people are suffering the blows of life and they have no idea it's because they have rejected counsel. They have rejected instruction. God has spoken wisdom into their life, but they think they know better. They've gone their own way. Now they're suffering consequences. Now, sadly, even some of those people are praying to God, oh, God, let the blows stop. Let the blows stop. And you know what God says? And I'm going back to another portion in Proverbs chapter 1. He says, when you cry to me, I won't hear you. What? You're praying and God won't hear you? It goes on to say, because you have rejected my counsel and you are eating the fruit of your own way. God's saying, yeah, I could lift that, but then it wouldn't be beneficial. You'll stay right where you are. I'm going to let you suffer the consequence of your way till your heart softened, till you turn to me. If you, and then it goes on to say, if you'll hear my instruction, you will have life. The things will change. You're eating the fruit of your own way because you planted some bad seeds. We want God to change the harvest. Oh, God, I don't like this harvest. Change the harvest. And God says, you know what? I'm not going to change the harvest. You know what he does, though? He says, here's some new seeds. Plant these seeds. These seeds will give you a better harvest in your life. He's not going to switch the harvest of your life, even when you cry out to him, because Proverbs 1 says he won't do it. He's gracious enough not to answer your prayer because he wants you to change. He wants you to be transformed. He wants you to have genuine happiness. He wants you to understand. And it won't happen unless you submit yourself and come under and understand the truths that God is saying to you. Proverbs 15:32. He who disdains instruction despises his own soul. But he who heeds rebuke gets understanding. Do you see how over and over and over again the same truth is being presented in Proverbs? So don't disdain instruction. You're actually despising your own soul. You're hurting yourself. You're doing yourself damage when you don't respond to godly instruction. Listen to what it says in Proverbs 15:10. Harsh discipline is for him who forsakes the way, and he who hates correction will die. You're on the way, but now you've made a decision. You're going to do it your way. And actually what you've done is you've departed from the way. You've forsaken the way of life to grow in the Lord. You're going your own way. And it says, and if you hate the correction that God gives, you're going to end up dead. You're going to die. You're not going to grow. You're not going to be what God wants you to be. Proverbs 19:29. Judgments are prepared for scoffers and beatings for the backs of fools. Now, what's a scoffer? We didn't talk about that a little bit. A scoffer is a fool, but a scoffer is one, I got it here in your notes. A scoffer is a fool who mocks wisdom, belittles it, despises it, makes fun of it. You don't believe that, do you? Didn't know there's people like still believe that. You're unsophisticated. You're not very smart. Despises, mocks wisdom. God has wisdom that will transform your life, will change you, transform you. But a scoffer, not only does he not accept it, but he mocks it. There's some scoffers in the world. Sometimes you hear them on the news, you hear them on TV programs, you hear it in sitcoms, people scoffing God's truth, God's ways. They don't realize, because they're still looking for answers, what's the answer to the problems of the world? You give them an answer, a godly answer, and they go, oh, that's foolish. So that's why God calls them a fool. They think things that are wise are foolish. The fool is said in their heart, there's no God. Psalms tells us, don't sit in the seat of the scornful. Don't sit with scoffers. Don't be around that kind of people. It will infect you. It will change your attitude. It will numb your spiritual senses. You need to be very sensitive. When God pricks you with a truth, and you feel it. You respond. What do I got to do? How do I change that? That's a heart of understanding. Let me just quickly go through these verses on scoffers. A scoffer seeks wisdom. They still want wisdom, but does not find it. But knowledge is easy to him who understands. When you're sincerely seeking for an answer in your life, God will give it to you. Proverbs 15:12. A scoffer does not love one who corrects him. They're hiding in the back room. Nor will he go to the wise. Proverbs 1 and verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 8 and verse 10 and 11. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. So a scoffer and a fool, they're looking for money, they're looking for possessions, they're looking for influence, they're looking for acclaim, all the things that would stroke their natural being. That's what they're looking for. But the scripture is telling us, you know, what's better than that? God's wisdom. It's better than rubies. It's better than gold. It's better than silver. Seek that. It's going to be more, it says in another place, I didn't write the verses down. It's more profitable for you to have wisdom and to understand it than to have all the things of this life. You'd be better off. And then it goes on to say, if you have it, he'll give you long life. He'll give you honor. He gives you all these blessings that you're trying to get with money and doing things your own way. The Lord says, if you put me first, I'll add all these things to you. You're not seeking them. I just add them to you. Are you hearing me this morning? Are you hearing these words of instruction from God's word this morning? How is it affecting your heart? You have to ask yourself right now, how am I responding to what I'm hearing? Is there arguments coming up in my mind against it? The Bible says we need to pull down every vain imagination and the arguments that contend against the truth of God. I mean, we can all do it because we have our own way and our own thoughts. Well, that was for then. Well, some parts of the Bible's good, but that part's not good. Yeah, I should do that part. But those verses, you know what? I'm not going to take those verses. And we justify the actions that we live, not realizing we're bringing on our own head problems and situations that you didn't need to suffer if you just do it God's way. God's way is always the best way. Proverbs 12:1. This really gets plain. Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is just stupid. I mean, it's just stupid. They wouldn't say they're stupid, but it's just plain stupid to reject God's word. I mean, I think it's stupid for people to complain against God. God, why didn't you do this? God, I prayed and that didn't. God, why didn't this? As if you're blaming God. I mean, that's just plain stupid. I mean, really, you think about it. God is God. He knows all things. He loves you more than you love yourself. He has a plan and purpose for your life. He wants to accomplish things. The problem is you. It's you and me. We're the problem. We don't have a heart for understanding. We're not trying to apply it. We don't love instruction. We don't want to hear it. We want to argue against the things that go across our life, that run counter the way I think things should be. I want to argue with those things. And the Bible says, that's just stupid. God is God. He loves you more than you love yourself. So why are you arguing with God? Why don't you just rather say, God, apparently I need my thinking adjusted here. There's nothing wrong with you. The problem is me, Lord. Like the prodigal son, come to yourself. I mean, really, just get some sense. So you know what? Servants in my father's house is better than the way I'm living. And have a heart for instruction and understanding. Proverbs 19:20, we're almost done here. Listen to counsel, receive instruction, that you may be wise in your latter days. There are many plans in a man's heart. You can figure out a lot of ways to do things. There's a lot of plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. The Lord's counsel. What's he saying about this? Proverbs 9, verse 7. He who corrects a scoffer gets shame for himself. He who rebukes a wicked man only harms himself. Do not correct a scoffer, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, he'll be still wiser. Teach a just man, he will increase in learning. Now, when you are a scoffer and foolish, you get yourself in a situation where the Bible actually says, you know what? Don't even try to reason with a scoffer. You're not going to, he's closed. She's closed. You're not going to get anywhere. You're better off just to leave them. Let the enemy do some destruction work in their life. Not that you want that, but you just realize they're closed. In fact, there's another portion, verses back to back. It says to rebuke a fool, lest he be wise in his own eyes. In other words, sometimes you just need to tell a fool because he's wise in his own eyes, you need to tell him. And then the next verse says, don't rebuke a fool, lest you be like him. Well, what does this mean? One verse is saying rebuke a fool, the next verse saying don't rebuke a fool. This is why you need spiritual discernment from the Lord. You have to discern where a person's at. Sometimes people are in a foolish situation, but you know, maybe it's time for you to speak the word and they're going to say, oh, you know what? I always rejected that, but you know what? I'm going to listen this time. Other times you might rebuke a fool and they're still hard. They're persistent. It's going to be worse. They're going to hate you for it. So the Bible says, don't do that. So you have to discern by the Spirit what you should say to people. When I should speak truth and when I just have to say, you know what? I just have to let it go. We're talking about real things here. We're talking about spiritual values. We're talking about lives being changed. We're talking about healthy marriages. We're talking about doing well on your job. We're talking about overcoming resentment and bitterness. There's wisdom in all these things. There's answers to it in God's Word. It's all around if you just open your heart and be a learner. Don't be a teacher. Be a learner and say, God, I want to know what your word says. And if we do, you're going to grow and you're going to profit. And you're going to go step by step into what God wants. Now, I know there's half this message is left and we're going to leave it. I left it in the first message. So we'll pick this up perhaps the next time we speak in the future. Because I want to go on and talk to you about the sources of wisdom. And where do you gain wisdom? And I want to talk to you about how do you recognize godly counsel. All these things we'll pick up, but we'll leave it there. Maybe we'll just close with this last one, Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. This is the most valuable book you can read. It's God's truth. It's God's word. It's wisdom. When you hear someone scoffing and mocking the word of God, just realize the source. Say, I don't want to be like that person. I don't want to scoff and mock what God says. I'm going to take his word. I'm not going to twist the word, try to change its meaning to what I think. I'm just going to let the word be the word. I'm going to let it transform me. I'm going to come under his word. I'm going to understand his word. And if you do so, it'll transform your life. But you got to do it with a mindset, this is valuable, and I'm going to apply it. I shared in the first message, and I should add this because I probably won't go back to it. I remember years ago, We had a conference here at the church. There was a couple that sat right here, George and Hazel Hill. Some of you might, if you know church settings, they were the founders of Victory Churches, started hundreds of churches across the world. But they were here, and they were speaking at our conference, our anchor conference. This was years ago. I still remember him standing right here where I am, talking about when they first got saved. And he said, we were pretty raw. He said, our marriage was on the rocks. We were just ungodly. We didn't know a thing. And he said, but you know, we'd go to bed every night. And we'd lie in bed together, and we decided we'd read the Bible. And he said, we read it with this intent. We agreed with each other. Doesn't matter what we think. Whatever the Word of God says, we'll do. And he said, we used to lie there holding hands, reading the Word, wondering what it was going to say. Because they didn't know the Bible. But he said, we were transformed night by night, day by day, reading God's Word and just saying, I'm going to do what it says. Rather than reading it for knowledge, I can tell someone else, applying it to your own heart. I tell you, the Word of God is powerful. It'll change your life because the Spirit is in this Word. We'll leave it there. We'll pick it up next time. Would you stand with me this morning? As we close this service, let me ask you this. What are you doing with this word of instruction this morning? What will your application be from this word right now? Don't let it just blow over your head. Take hold of it. Embrace it. It's your life. It's your spiritual life. Take hold of this word. What will be the application for you? What will you do as a result of hearing this word this morning? Maybe some of you will start reading a chapter of Proverbs a day. I tell you, that would be a great place to start. But whatever the application for you, embrace it. Hold it. See, the thing I fear the most is I can say this to you and I'm not applying it. That I could be able to teach a message like this and yet I'm not actually applying this. I want the Lord to impress me that I'm applying this word day by day. And we're all imperfect. We're not there yet. We're all taking our steps forward. But you're committed. Whatever God's word says, I'm going to do. Whatever proverb, whatever nugget of wisdom comes to me, I'm embracing it and I'm going to apply it in my life. Do you feel that way this morning? Let me pray for us. Father, I do pray that we will embrace your word, embrace your truth, hear instruction, change our mindset from one of rejecting correction to one that's actively seeking reproof. Oh God, help us to realize it's the steps of life. So God, do your work in us. Accomplish your purposes. May we reach the end of our life down that pathway and hear you say, well done, good and faithful servant. May it be so in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Let it be, Lord. All right. Go in the name of the Lord. Have a coffee. Talk about these things. You're dismissed.